Welcome everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast. This time we're going to talk about so-called property-backed trick for client-side object model, or actually also for REST, to enable additional configurations in a web or in a list level. My name is Vesa Juvonen, I'm a Senior Program Manager in Office 365, and with me again is Bert Jansen. Bert, will you do your intros?
Hello, Vesa. Thanks. First of all, thanks for having me on this webcast. So my name is Bert Jansen. I'm a service engineer in the SharePoint and OneDrive service engineering group.
Thanks, Bert. So this time it's going to be more me talking and Bert asking questions, what you audience might be thinking when you're listening the webcast again. So let's actually get started. So what is this so-called property-backed trick? And the property-backed trick is something actually kind of interesting. We can use the CSUM to modify property back entries in the list or in the web level, or as well as REST. And in many cases, actually, how SharePoint works and how SharePoint is built is that it's actually storing some of these properties and configurations in the property backs of the web and list. So therefore, if we, and as we can, access the property bank using CSUM or REST, we can actually modify additional properties and additional settings by directly modifying them in the property bank. And this is mainly a capability which is available for web or in the list level. In the website, or when you're accessing a web properties, and you would be accessing the web.all properties, and in a list, these properties are actually stored in a root folder. And then quite often at this point, and this is a classic discussion when we have a discussion, for example, in the BNP Yammer group about these options, is the question around, wait a minute, is this actually supported? Because now what we're doing here is that we're accessing the property back of the web or a list to bypass the native property within the server-side object model by modifying the value directly within the property bank. It was a while back, almost 2 years ago, probably, when we originally started a discussion with the feature crews around this one. And the conclusion at the time was that this is actually a supported method for simple properties, which do not have additional dependencies outside of the property back value setting. And what we mean with that one is that in the server-side code, when you're setting, let's say, what would be a good example? You're setting a property. Do you have a good example, Bert?
Yeah, maybe the no-crawl property. Like, if you as a user use the no-crawl property, you just get a settings page and you can check the box, and you submit the page, you save to the setting. At that point, you might be thinking like the setting is saved in a database and a specific thing in SharePoint with a specific API. But in this case, actually, it just ends up as a property in the web property bag.
Yeah.
So that would be a good example, Vesa.
That's a great example of a simplistic property, absolutely. And we're going to have a look on the server-side code for that one in a second. Then we do have much more complex properties. And with the complex properties, we mean that whenever an end user goes to, let's say, the list settings or a site settings and clicks a yes or no option, what's going to happen on the background on the server side is much more than just storing a value within the content database. For example, we'll add some event receivers, we'll add some fields, and so on. And those are kind of debatable, because if we start modifying these property backs and we forget about doing some additional steps, then your site or list might end up in a standard status, which is not an optimal situation.
Correct. And example of a more complex one would be request management, where you have a combination of setting properties, enabling a feature, adding an event receiver, all together in a particular flow. So it is about setting properties in a property bag, but it's a bit more than that.
True.
And this is not something that we directly support as such, correct?
Correct. Yes. So, and we don't want to encourage people to do this. So this is more around if you're hitting a business critical requirement and you need to get something done. This is a one way of solving those things. If there's no native support in a CSUM, and we'll come back on the model, how we want to evolve the CSUM slightly later. Now, what would be the example use cases for doing this? So these are few what we have actually implemented in the BMP core component as an example, and we're going to have a look on one of these during the demo as well, without using the core component, but showing the actual pattern. You can, as an example, we don't have a native API to enable rating in an existing list in a PubSync site, but you can actually do that as long as you set the right property in a property bag and you associate the right fields on the list automatically, like the server-side implementation is doing. And after that, your list will have the rating capabilities enabled. And you are able to also disable the rating capabilities. Another example, a relatively classic one actually, I just had a look on this one yesterday. It's in my blog post from, what was it, August 2013, so almost, well, 2.5 years ago. You are able to set searchable property bank entries in the site level. And what we mean with that one is that you're able to say for SharePoint search that please crawl also these additional property back entries, which will be then refinable within your search results, which is actually a super cool capability. We can use this also for configuring some of the publishing settings for sites. So natively within a CSAM, you're not allowed, or you don't have a native capability to, for example, filter what are the supported page layouts for a PubSync sites, or what is the default page layout, or what is the allowed site templates or web templates for that particular site. But now, if we modify this information, all of this allowed templates for PubSync site is stored actually in the property bank of the site. So if we formalize and save the right format string on the property bank, the SharePoint will realize that, okay, this is the setting which have been allowed or set for the site, and therefore this only these templates are allowed to be used.
Yes, sir. So yep. You say when we put the right string, does that mean that the values in the property bank are not simply like very short, simple strings, but can be more complex types as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So good question, good thing to clarify. So a lot of the times, as an example for the publishing features and publishing these particular publishing settings where we want to filter the page layouts and allowed web templates, this is actually a relatively complex string, which is an XML structure. In our samples in the BNB library, we do have samples which are showing how to build the right format for that string so that it's stored in the right format in the property bank, which could be complicated, and it slightly depends. The format always depends on the implementation. Is it just a simple value which is stored, or is it actually complex XML, or is it a JSON? It seems to be that every single feature crew has decided their own structure to store the property.
Mm-hmm. But overall, most cases, the values are fairly straightforward and simple.
Correct. Yes, no, absolutely true. And those are, whenever it's more complex than it is, it may be something, and this, I know that this is a gray area discussion, which we should never do. It's yes or no, but this is one of those maybe situations. When it's a relatively, when it's really complex structure, which we're going to save in the property bank, we really want to make sure that it's a business critical requirement when you start doing that. And you want to make sure and test carefully that it's working properly in the Office 365 as well. And the final thing, manipulate records management settings, for example, in a list is a good example on what we have supported as a native API, well, in quotes, native API in a BMP NuGet package, but not in the CSAM APIs. So what does this mean? And I do understand, or we do understand, that this might sound relatively weird until you see the code. So this is a good example. In the SP web, we have a property called no crawl. And what I did here is that I used ILSpy to copy the actual implementation of the no crawl property in the server-side API. So this is actually from SharePoint 2013 implementation, and it shows what happens when you are saving the no crawl property. So in the setter, in the lower section, we're able to see that if the value has been given, or if the value is true, we are actually adding a true or string, true string to no crawl property in this .all properties property bank. And this all properties refers to the web property bank. So essentially what happens is that even though you have a server-side property called no-crawl, the value of that property is not saved as such, it is saved to the property bank of the web. And hopefully that made sense in some level. But I think this is a relatively good example of a simplistic property. So you could set the no-crawl property directly using JSON by going to the property back and set the property correctly in the property back level. Now, for this particular property, however, the no-crawl is one of those properties which we actually did release as part of the latest release of the JSON NuGet package, which came out on the 11th of December 2015. So there is a native property in a JSON, so for, there is a web.no-crawl and you're able to set that true or false. And that will then call the server side on the farm and then that will set the property correctly.
Yep, that's true. Keep in mind though that this JSON support currently is not available yet for on-premises builds. So if you target on-premises, the property bank trick still applies for this one.
Yeah, absolutely a good point. Absolutely good point. And the same capabilities is still the same in SharePoint 2016 because we didn't really change the actual underlying SharePoint server API implementation in SharePoint 2016. We're building on top of the existing infrastructure and architecture. Cool. Let's actually have a simplistic demo. And this is one of the BMP sample galleries as demos. So this is relatively simplistic one. It is actually community contribution originally, and which has then slightly evolved and then that moved to the core component as well. But this is not using the core BMP core component. So we're able to show you more efficiently the code. And this is called core.listRatingSettings. So sample, which is showing how to enable or disable list ratings in a list at the publishing site. So let me switch to Visual Studio and let me find my Visual Studio in one of the screens. There we go. There's my Visual Studio. So I'm going to quickly come here and let's have a look on the slightly and the structure and what we have. So this is a relatively typical basic structure on the BMP samples. We do have the documentation which has the README in MD. Quite big that red thingy which is now hiding the README. Anyway, and there's the actual project. So this one is a console application. And the key point obviously is that it's using the SharePoint client CSM API, which we use then to set the right properties, for example, in a property bank to enable the list rating in that property bank. The list rating is slightly more complicated than just enabling a property in the list property bank. So you need to add actually additional fields to the list to make that happen as well. And all of that is encapsulated within the code. So let's have a look on this one in practice. So let's quickly jump on the SharePoint site first. This is going to be my site. This is a out-of-the-box publishing site in Office 365. And there's nothing actually added on the site. And in the site content, we should see the documents library. There we go. There's my documents library. I'm going to jump the documents library settings directly in here. There we go. And in the documents libraries, if it's a PubSync feature, you have this rating setting available. So this is something which is not exposed as a native CSM capability, but we can enable this rating in an existing list if that's needed. So right now the setting is in no. If we add the setting to yes, we're able to select either likes or stars as the rating capability for the individual list. So let's make sure that the code is working properly. I'm going to set that one in no. Click OK, and we're able to say that the list itself doesn't have rating enabled. Should I probably upload a file here? Well, never mind. It would be way too easy to actually show that. But we don't have the rating capabilities available here. Maybe I should actually upload a file here. Sorry for additional step. Let's actually take one of our BNP team meeting.
It makes sense to prove that the rating capability is working. They have a file, otherwise.
Oh, you actually want to see that it's working?
Yeah.
Demanding audience.
I want to see it. Show me the proof.
Yes. So I'm track and dropping one of the documentations around the user profile import API, and we're going to release a blog post about that one at some point. So I'm going to actually check in this one. If I can actually do that in here. Really doesn't matter. It just bothers me that it's checked out, because the checking out requirement is enabled within the PubSync site. Cool. Just click OK. Dear SharePoint, would you please behave? You don't. What's happening here?
The demogods.
Demogods are attacking. Let's do it one more time.
You live on number 13, so that's a problem. No, just
yeah. Fine, I'm gonna not check it in. It doesn't really matter, because we can do the rating for the page or the document when it's checked out as well, so that's not a problem. Cool. So let's move back on the Visual Studio Code, and let's do this step by step and have a look on the functionalities. So I'm gonna quickly make sure that I'm actually not disabling that. The code itself is relatively simple. I'm gonna do a breakpoint over there, so we're able to actually walk this through. Let's actually stop that. My fingers are not obeying my commands. That's quite often a problem for me. No, just kidding. So let's actually start the execution. So what the code is doing, it's first asking where's the site which I want to modify. So let's actually give the site URL. Let me double check that one. So I'm not actually, it is sites, Bob, good. Username, so let's actually give my username there. We could obviously use the app only tokens as well, but in this case it's a console application. It's asking my username, and then it's asking my password to get in. And there we go. And then what we do is that we want to enable the rating with likes in the documents library list. So let's actually walk through the code. I'm going to slightly adjust the code size still, so you can more easily see what's actually happening here. There we go. Okay, we're loading the list, not actually, or the site, not actually that necessary at this point. And this is where it actually gets interesting. So first of all, it's checking if it's a PubSync site. Well, because the rating functionality is only available within the PubSync site, and that's really because the fields are enabled by default in the PubSync site. So this particular functionality doesn't work with a non-PubSync site unless you enable certain features. But within the sample, we're checking if it's a PubSync site and continue only if it is. We're setting a culture. Well, that's not actually that interesting either. It's an additional setting in the code example. We're getting the list instance. We gave the documents as a property or attribute for the method. So we're getting an instance to that library. So that's the one which we actually want to modify. And then there's a few things. So this is a relatively good example of a slightly more complex setting. We need to add that property in a property bag, and then we need to add some additional fields, which are then used to show the rating value. But let's actually concentrate on the property bag entry. So the property bag entry is actually stored within the root folder of the property bag. So in the, sorry, root folder of the list. So it's the list, which is the document, the root folder, and the properties on there. And we're adding the likes as a string for that particular value. So essentially, that value is then driving the behavior of SharePoint on the UI side to enable the native functionality. And if you want to disable things, and you'll just add that particular property to string empty, and that will then essentially disable the rating functionality within the list.
So in most cases, when you work with properties, disabling it means setting it to an empty value. You don't necessarily have to remove the property as such.
True, true, absolutely. Cool, so let's add that property to likes and update the root folder so that the property values has been updated. And there we go, execution ended or completed. And then what we want to do, what the function, well, it's slightly off the topic of today's discussion, but we're also adding the needed fields which are related on rating, because the rating functionality depends on these fields to exist within the library. We want to make sure that those fields exist in the library as well. Not going to walk through the code on this one, so I'm going to do an F5, and we can actually go and have a look on the UI that everything is working properly. So switching into the UI, and let's go to document library and library settings. Let's first make sure that everything is fine in here. We are able to actually see the number of ratings, rating number of likes already added to the list. That's cool. Rating settings. We're able to see that the rating settings is now enabled. I'm going to quickly zoom in. And like we actually put it in our code, it's enabled with a likes. So now if I go back on the library itself, we did upload that one file for the demanding audience. We're able to see that there's the number of likes field included. And I can, where do I actually get, how do I set the likes for this one? Oh, there we go. Oh,
yeah,
it's just
yeah, clicking on. So. Yeah,
it would help.
I think most people use stars, I guess.
Oh, it was a link to like and unlike. There we go.
Yes. But it shows the proof. Like, I'm convinced, Vesa, it does work.
To be fair, that was the confusion, because it's like I've always seen the stars and never used actually likes in here. Anyway, now we can see that it's a like, and that's a link. I can do an unlike, and then I can do like, unlike. Okay, that's cool. Okay. I'm gonna unlike.
That's why you always see stars. Explains yes. Why you always see stars. Like it's questionable.
True. Cool, but it actually works, and everything is working like planned. That's actually pretty cool, isn't it? Let's switch back on the actual presentation and talk about the following steps. So just to summarize quickly on that one, just to explain for those who were able to follow what we were rambling, so we were setting a property back entry directly using the CSUM, and then that essentially told SharePoint to enable the rating, or that was essentially the same operation what SharePoint would do when you execute the UI level implementation as well. So the UI level implementation is dependent on storing that information in the property back of that particular list. And there's the link also, github.com, Office Dev BNP tree master sample score list rating settings is the code which we actually showed. So now, one of the things what we want to mention here is that obviously we want to make sure that the community and field knows which of these options are available. So we're looking into getting an official list in quotes for the supported properties documented sooner or later. This is, however, highly dependent on the resources, and just to be fully honest, because I think we had this in our roadmap as a to-do list item already 1.5 years ago, if I remember correctly, Bert. So sooner or later, hopefully sooner, we'll get a list of these things available. Now, in the BNP core component, you can actually see already the rating enabler and all of that stuff being visible. It's just a matter of getting things documented properly. And the really, really important thing here as well, we did mention that at some level this is questionable approach. So we want to make sure that you use this approach only when it's business critical for your requirements. And then remember to request that CSUM capability using the user voice as well, so that we would actually give you the native support for your business critical implementation rather than rely on the CSUM level property back trick approach. So that's office-sbdev.uservoice.com. Funny enough, we were chatting about that URL with Bert earlier today, and even though I'm over there every single day almost, but I just can't remember that URL for some reason, that it's office-sbdev. Why isn't it sbdev? Well, sb is kind of office. Never mind. Different discussion.
Indeed.
That's marketing people who decide those. Cool. So we went through what is a property bag trick, and that might be a lifesaver for some of the projects. It might be a lifesaver for some of the requirements that you're having. Please be, let's say, careful on using that. If it's in the BNP core component, we know that it's actually supported, and those things have been double-checked with the feature crew, like the list rating and the publishing feature enabler for the allowed page layouts and templates. And then I'm actually seeing a small typo on the screen. It's 2016. We should update the slide.
Now we have to restart the recording. No,
yeah,
just
let's
kidding.
Restart.
Just kidding.
Anything we want to do as a final words, Bert, from your side?
No, I think it's important indeed to keep raising the voice about like if you need something which is not yet in a PNP core library and it's business critical for you, please let us know, because we either want to have it in PNP so more people can leverage that capability, and we also want to indeed get it over time, get it fixed in CSAM as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one thing what I wanted to also kind of mention, that these tricks what we showed today, these are actually in use by a lot of our customers, enterprise customers. Me and Bert are kind of a special guys in engineering, because we do work with a real customers every single day. So a lot of this stuff is actually originating from a business critical requirements from large enterprise customers. So they are in use. So not just theoretical technical nuances, actual real life stuff, which is a good thing. Cool. I think that sums up the presentation then. So thank you everybody for watching the video, and we'll be coming up with new stuff sooner or later.
All right. Thanks guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.